Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yes, Time Magazine's Person of the Year announced at 7:30 this morning is Pope Francis, the People's Pope, as the headline calls him. With us now, Time's longtime Vatican watcher, Howard Chua-Huan, who wrote the Person of the Year cover story. Howard, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Brian.
So Time's Person of the Year is chosen, we should remind everybody, not as the best person of the year or the most praiseworthy person of the year, but as the most influential person of the year. Hitler got the designation in 1938, Stalin in 39, and again in 1942. So do you think Pope Francis is making a big difference?
I think he is. When you consider what everyone the general perception of the Catholic Church until he became Pope. It was one of a church that was trying to struggle with its identity, with whether or not it was dealing well enough with all the scandals that had come through it, through the last two papacies, pontificates. And suddenly he comes around, and within 9 months, or within actually the first few weeks of his papacy, the first few days, everyone has sort of said, what is this guy doing? He's doing things that no one has ever seen a pope do before, and it's inspiring. And over the last 9 months, it's been even more so. There's one astonishment after the other coming out of the Vatican in terms of a gesture, in terms of an off-the-cuff remark, in terms of dealing with people. It's been quite a turnaround. And it's always surprising to see such an ancient and gigantic institution suddenly, even if it turns a few inches one way, it's pretty astonishing.
So, listeners, how has Pope Francis changed you, if you're Catholic? How has Pope Francis changed your church? And maybe he's created a tension if you're in one of the more conservative churches in our listening area. Maybe there's a backlash. How has he changed your community? How do you think Pope Francis is changing the world? Does he deserve to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year? Do you see the influence in addition to the media coverage? 212-433-WNYC for Catholics, 212-433-9692. Call us up or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Howard, as a longtime Vatican watcher, I'm curious if you know how the rest of the Vatican establishment is reacting to Pope Francis's emphasis on inequality. He gave that recent really eye-opening speech about capitalism causing inequality, and his statement about there having been too much emphasis on sexual issues, of course, made headlines around the world too. So I'm curious if there's backlash in the House in Rome or among the many conservative cardinals who voted for him and maybe didn't realize what they were buying here.
I think all faithful Catholics have to abide by the fact that the Holy Spirit has worked this way. It is a fascinating thing, especially for. Let me back up and just say that Pope Francis has not actually changed anything that the Catholic Church believes. The doctrines and the dogma are very much the same. He has said they're non-negotiable. What he's changed is the way he goes after the people of the church and the people he wants to bring back into the church. It's a more loving embrace. It's a greater outreach. It's a more pastoral sort of outreach instead of a doctrinaire one. There may be rules. He wants his priests and his pastors to deal with people one-on-one and to work with the rules, but somehow work with the person first.
But he changed the emphasis. And I understand that he didn't change the rule. The Catholic Church has been critical of the excesses of capitalism through
exactly.
Our lifetimes. The Catholic Church is still against gay marriage and abortion and things like that. But
those
he's
have not
changing from a, you know, put in the context of American politics and Western politics in general, he has changed the emphasis. He's flipped the script, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it. There is one interesting change and his dealings with liberation theology from the 1960s, in which the previous pope, when he was the guard dog of doctrine, basically stripped it of a lot of its Marxist elements. He has welcomed back the two most important figures in liberation theology. He's reading their new books. The liberation theology has always worked very well, excuse me, with the emphasis on the poor in Latin America. So Pope Francis is bringing that perspective to the Vatican, which is very interesting because the past two popes have always dealt with Cold War issues. This pope is dealing with rich-poor issues.
So would it be accurate to say that Pope John Paul, who came from Soviet-era Poland, helped save the world from the excesses of communism? Pope Francis may be trying to help save the world from the excesses of capitalism?
Yes, and the timing is providential, if you want to use that word, because he becomes pope at a time when everyone in the world, rich and poor, is worried about when the next bubble is going to burst, how is that going to affect the poor, how is it going to affect the rich even then. And suddenly even the people in the middle class who are not that rich are figuring, maybe I am not that secure, maybe there are all of these anxieties that are out there, and the Pope taps into that, or they can tap into the Pope's feelings about that.
By the way, people, the last 5 years, Times Person of the Year was Ben Bernanke in 2009, Mark Zuckerberg in 2010, The Protester in 2011, the year of the Arab Spring, and President Obama last year for his re-election, which was in many ways more stunning than his original election. The last time a religious figure got it was Pope John Paul in 1994. So I guess we see how the global narrative has changed in the 20 years between the two popes getting Time Magazine Person of the Year designation, as my guest Howard Chua Huan, Time Magazine Vatican Watcher, was just describing. We'll go to your phones in phone calls in a minute. I want to play a clip of Pope Francis speaking in English. I think he doesn't really speak English. Is that right?
He doesn't like to speak English because he's never been able to get the accent correctly. He was sent to Ireland as a young priest to sort of help perfect his English. I don't think it's his favorite language to use.
So he gave a speech in October that we're going to just excerpt 30 seconds of, and it was described to me as the first public address he ever gave in English. So, listeners, you won't understand all the words, but you'll get the idea. And what struck me here is how soft-spoken this Pope is. Listen.
Don't get tired of bringing the mercy of the Father to the poor, the sick, the abandoned, the gentle and family. Let Jesus speak now in the worlds of politics, business, arts, science, technology, and social media. Let the Holy Spirit renew the creation and bring forth justice and peace in the Philippines and in the great continent of Asia that is close to my heart.
We know we're living in the digital age when we hear the Pope say, God bless social media. And he said the Philippines. I think he was in the Philippines, although that was before the storm. So that was not the reference there.
That was
there,
before,
right?
The storm. And he was addressing the bishops in the Philippines remote video.
So is it that he's in his 70s? Is it that his English is halting? Or do we really hear something in his soft-spoken tone there about who he is?
When he speaks, it is the more surprising thing. I've heard him speak in the Vatican in front of 150,000 people. And at first you think, I don't see the charisma in this person. And suddenly when he starts to speak and he lifts his eyes from the script and he goes off script, it's as if he's talking to you personally, even though I get my Italian is via my Spanish, which is not good in the first place. But it you can feel like he's communicating to you somehow. It's an astonishing thing. And his voice is higher pitched than you'd expect, because he is a sort of large-looking man, but But it is a very captivating voice. And it is, once he starts to speak it, it's a very, very captivating presence.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking about Pope Francis being named Time Magazine's Person of the Year this morning, discussing it with Time's longtime Vatican watcher, Howard Chu Huan, who wrote the lead article on the selection that's now out in Time Magazine and on their website. And let's take a phone call. The question is, what is the influence of Pope Francis? Is he just, elevated official in the Vatican saying different things than the last few people who came before him? Or is he really having an impact on you or your church or communities? Lourda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead. Why don't you turn your radio off? I think you're getting confused by the seven-second delay.
Yes, I am.
Or community.
And then you're going, hey, I sound good over there.
Yes.
So go ahead. The Pope and you.
The impact the Pope has had on me is to reexamine my religious background. I went to a Catholic university, a Jesuit university. And when I had read somewhere when Francis became Pope, that to understand him, you needed to understand the spiritual exercises that the Jesuits practice. So I started reading, and it was fascinating to me. I've always admired the Jesuits, and I think reading about the spiritual exercises made me understand why they have a more commonsensical, humanistic approach to religion.
Is there something about the spiritual exercises that you can put into words briefly, like what kind of exercise?
Well, one practice is the examen, which is a prayer that they have to do twice a day. And they call it consciousness prayer. It's not a prayer of conscience. It's not a prayer of what's right and wrong, but a consciousness of trying to find God in your daily life, but through your feelings, through your actions. But it's not an examination of whether I sinned or not.
Lourda, thank you so much. And so there's one Manhattan Catholic who's been moved to start looking into Jesuit teachings, in particular by this Jesuit Pope. Kevin in Glen Rock, you're on WNYC. Maybe not as enthusiastic, right, Kevin?
Oh, no, I am. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to seem not to be. I thought that the choice was a good one, premature possibly, but in a positive sense, in that this Pope, as opposed to the previous papacies, has called upon us as individuals, as Catholic, to look at our lives and are we living the lives that Christ has asked us to live. I think the previous papacies, in some ways, and they're not necessarily negative all the time, told us what choices we should make, told us that, homosexuality was bad. This Pope is saying, don't be distracted by that. You need to take, the responsibility upon yourself as a Catholic to live the life that, Jesus has taught us he wants us to live. And so I think the seeds of those thoughts have enormous, potential for the world, not just for Catholics, to see not necessarily just, social action, but it's just day-to-day actions, how you live your life as a Catholic in the world, in the year 2013. So it's got enormous potential.
Kevin, thank you very much. So that's a fascinating distinction, Howard. Do you relate to it between the previous popes telling people what to do and this pope kind of trying to get people to reexamine how they think?
That's a very, very good observation. The past two papacies have been fascinating because John Paul's was this enormously sort of politically successful pontificate. But he never really codified anything very clearly. That was left to Benedict, which he did very, very well. So in a way, Benedict did a lot of cleaning up for John Paul, but that required a lot of definitions. So he said, you have to do this. This is what this means and all of that. Francis has not actually abandoned a single thing that Benedict wrote. He's actually cited Benedict constantly in his new exhortation, his first long piece of opinion, so to speak. So, but he has taken advantage of the fact that all of these are established to then do a very humanistic way of exercising these thoughts. So you might have these rules and the explanation of the rules, but now it's time to go back to dealing with people.
So here, I think, is somebody who's going to be skeptical. Bob in Mountainside, who calls himself an agnostic Catholic. Hi, Bob. You're on WNYC.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Did have high hopes for the Pope when, cleaning up the pedophilia situation in the church. With this statement, it just, shoots at the – I don't know. I don't have much hope for him because I know and I can see basically reading through the works of Dr. Thomas Sowell, backing it up, that laissez-faire capitalism is the best way to elevate everybody. It's not perfect, but, you demonstrate by the Soviet Union and any other communist state or socialist state, which his statements kind of lead to. The only problem is in America, we don't have laissez-faire capitalism. We have corporatism, crony capitalism, and fascism/socialism right now. Central planning impoverishes everybody.
Bob, thank you. And, I mean, it's a long way, Howard, from communism to laissez-faire capitalism. And, there are many things in between. And obviously, Pope Francis is not going to endorse old-style communism. But when you describe him as reviving liberation theology, how far does that go? Because when people who don't know it casually hear that term, that is associated sometimes with some, pretty far-left socialists in Latin America from a generation ago.
Yes, exactly. In fact, there were priests who took up arms in several places in Latin America, which is why the previous two papacies were so did not like liberation theology. And it took Pope Benedict as Cardinal Ratzinger to basically clean it up and make it safe for Francis to come back to it now. People think of it as a sort of a Marxist theology. It's really what it was taking something from Vatican II, which was the spark of what the Catholic Church calls the preferential love for the poor, which, because of the Cold War and because of the war between the superpowers, basically the Cold War between the superpowers, that got lost because of the ideologies. Now they're bringing that back because that has always been central to the teaching of the church.
But is this to say he's a Marxist?
No, not at all. It's interesting. When he was young, he said he liked to read communist literature, but he was never a member. He experimented with all of that thought. He lived under Peronism, which is a very strange amalgam of capitalism and socialism. So there's all of that influence in his background.
And you remind us in your article that he is the first pope to take the name of Francis of Assisi after 21 Johns, 16 Benedicts, and 14 Clements, Francis of Assisi from the 13th century, who was the patron saint of the poor. So
Yes. Maybe
we should have known just from that some of the places he was going to go.
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is a man who was archbishop, walked to the slums by him, took the subway to the slums very regularly to say mass and to be with the poor.
How about reaction to the Pope in Catholic Africa, where I've read the church is growing fast and with a very conservative bent, especially on sexual and social issues?
I think this is a very, very interesting time for this pope to come and say, I will embrace everyone, including the people that you've been told to hate, because that makes a difference. He is not going to start ordaining women, but he has talked about how important women are in the church, that they should be given greater responsibility. He's talked about maybe we make too much emphasis on the male clergy because we treat them specially because they give out the sacraments. Well, maybe that's too important a role for them to have just because they perform this service. Women do other things, and they should be considered more importantly. For third world and developing countries, that's revolutionary because women don't have any real role there. They're constantly losing out in the culture wars.
So it would be accurate to say that he's trying to lead rather than cater to the emerging Catholic populations from traditional, socially conservative developing countries?
Yes. When you hear him say these things, you might say, oh, he's just accommodating. He's trying to win
Americans.
Back all the West. Yes, Americans or liberal Western Catholics who have left the church. No, he's actually setting an example for the growing Catholic world, which is very conservative. One of the things that he has inveighed against while he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires was what he called fundamentalisms. And it's not just evangelicals. He has very good relations with the Pentecostals in Argentina. He inveighs against people who stick to too tightly to the rules, no matter what the religion can be.
And so ironically, and this is fascinating to me, in Latin America, it is the Pentecostals, the evangelicals, who are growing in number rapidly and challenging what used to be the just total ubiquity of Catholicism in Latin America. And so he's trying to do it, trying to compete with them, not by being more like them, but by being more unlike them, but in a very focused, here's who I am kind of way.
Exactly. He believes in the diversity of faiths, even though he sticks to the basic dogma that the Catholic Roman Catholic Church is the best way to heaven. He is happy to have religious diversity because he believes that whatever culture or background or family you're grown into, that is your original path that is your original spiritual path. And so he wants to make sure that he is clearly defining what a Catholic faithful person and a good Catholic person is.
One more thing before you go. From our comments page, Tom from Toronto writes, as usual, time gets it wrong. Snowden was the obvious pick for 2013. This was the safe commercial pick in that a lot of Catholics will want to buy the special issue now with his picture on the cover. So I should mention that Snowden was, very much discussed as a prime candidate for Time's Person of the Year this year, and he is featured as a runner-up, and there's a runner-up profile of Edward Snowden. I have no idea what it's like to sit in a room, and of course this whole Time Person of the Year thing is kind of a confection. It sells magazines. It starts conversations. I hope we had a good conversation out of the pick this year. I think we did. But, to sit in a room and decide on such different kinds of people who are functioning in such different realms, like Pope Francis versus Edward Snowden, were you in on this process?
I wasn't on part of it. Since I was working, I had my candidate and Michael Shearer, who wrote and was actually in communication with Snowden by email, wrote the Snowden profile. There's always a chance that at the very end, the managing editor of Time, it's Nancy Gibbs now, will decide at the end, oh, I'm going this way instead of that. That's happened so often in the past. I've worked on several Person of the Year projects. At the very end, it's not the person you thought it was going to be because the managing editor has changed his or her mind at the last minute. Or the editor-in-chief of Time Inc. has decided to weigh in on it, as happened a couple of decades ago.
You know, just last week, a gay Catholic school teacher in Pennsylvania was reportedly fired from his job for marrying his partner, for getting legally married. It's the first time I ever heard of someone getting fired for getting married. Would the Pope ever weigh in on something like that? And should we assume that he would or wouldn't support it?
I would assume that he would tell them that perhaps that the Pope is very much about, every bishop, every parish making up its own mind. I think he's very much – and that's why some conservative Catholics are a little wary. He is basically giving up the full authority of the Catholic Church in Rome to allow more independence on the local level. But I think the Pope would caution that you have to treat people on an individual basis, not because the rules say this and that. And I think if that has actually sunk down, it might have been handled differently.
Howard Chua Huan, who covers the Vatican for Time magazine, Time this morning named Pope Francis as their Person of the Year. Howard, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.